Welcome back, everyone. Racecast on the big screen once again. We have a... Okay, look, I'm not going to lie. The setup is not 100% there.
Work in progress.
It's a work in progress, right? So obviously, I don't know if you follow us on Instagram, you will have seen I put a story up basically saying, help us fill these spaces right here behind myself and Matt. We've got the big sort of feature piece in the middle, which... caused us a lot of problems. You would have thought. I've been in the game a long time, you know. Done some pretty cool stuff on YouTube.
Yep.
You would have thought that I would have thought about the reflection of a ring light. Firstly, ring light is a terrible idea anyway. I don't know why we've got a ring light. But it's because it was also our tripod. Just did not think that it would be so glaring in this. So we've had to move it up here to my right-hand side, if you're listening. And the lighting looks a little bit crap. We have to film this podcast, you know. The episode comes out tomorrow, or obviously you're listening to it right now, so it's out now. And we don't have time or capabilities to actually go and sort out some lighting in the meantime. It is... currently 10 past 7 on a Monday afternoon, a very dark Monday afternoon here in England. But so it's just going to have to wait until next week, that is all.
But you get the real experience. You will see the progression over the next few weeks.
Yeah.
Which will be nice. So, you know, the true OG, you know, Racecast fans.
You know, I'd love to know who is watching right now on YouTube that used to watch us on YouTube. Because we've gained a lot of new fans over the last... couple of months, but how many of the original ones are still with us? That's what I'd like to know. But do you know what, genuinely, our like level of podcast has increased massively, and I think that it's kind of coincided with doing all the socials as well. I feel like the actual podcast content is better now, and how we deliver it is better.
I think it makes you think about the topics. It makes you think about what you want to get across, because, you know, we used to turn up and go, all right, should we just talk about the race? And I also think because the season has been so much better, it's allowed us to expand the content because we've had more to talk about.
Yeah. 2023 was a tough one. I mean, if there's anyone else that does like F1 content creation, if you survived 2023, fair play, because it doesn't get much tougher than that. But yeah, we are officially back.
It's weird. You guys have been asking for it, and I was actually quite surprised. You know, in our DMs, which we've been getting recently, it's, you know, okay, you're promoting Spotify, you're promoting Apple Podcasts, when are you back on YouTube? And we've been debating for a while whether we're going to do that, because with that comes a bit more work, because we are ultimately the ones who are doing the content.
It's also more set up. Like, it's not just the post-production work. There's also like pre-production work. Obviously, we didn't do enough of that this time, but we've learned for the future.
But don't be hard on yourself, because you did a bit of work with the set. And
I did.
I want to say thank you to the guys who have actually commented and given us some ideas. You know, some people have said about Lego set up here, you know, of like the McLaren car, the Mercedes car.
Matt said to me, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to build it. Like, that's fine. Like, send us a pre-built Lego F1 car. I'll get it up on the wall.
But which one would you want? It's hard now, because what is it? McLaren, Mercedes. Is there an Aston Martin one?
I don't know. You know what Jamie's got them, my brother? He's got a few. And the thing is, you can get them with like really cool lights behind. Yeah. So this 100% will be leveling up over literally the coming weeks.
But I did like the track maps.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Cool. And I did send you a few ideas, didn't I?
I do like the idea of pictures. Anything with light. Not of you, hopefully. Especially, this is my office, by the way. So if you ever wonder, like, oh, why does the set look a little bit bootleg? Yeah, because it's my actual office. Like, this is not a studio.
Yeah. Okay, I've had a thought.
Also, it doesn't look bootleg, so don't say that anyway.
I've had a thought. So we've discussed on the podcast, we will get into F1 news, you know, it's just a bit exciting to be back on YouTube. we've still got to go race casting. We've got to go go-karting. We still haven't arranged this. There's still that discussion about who is better, you or me. I want to make a little bet with you. Okay.
Are you sure?
Yep.
That you want to make a bet with
yep.
me? Okay.
If I win...
You're talking about our race where we're going to go go-karting.
We're going to go go-karting. And like we'll have what? I think, is it one or two races? Two or three races, sorry?
We're going to go to team sport, aren't we?
Yeah.
Which, you know, as it goes, go-karting, like, they're fine. They're good for a fun little evening out.
Yeah. If I win...
Yeah.
I get to put a picture of me on your wall.
That's fine. I can't guarantee that the cats aren't going to randomly go for it and rip it up.
No. And
so they can be violent.
I will let you come up with if you win.
What? Okay. If you've joined along with this podcast for a long time, you will know that, was it 2020? It was the 2022 season.
Where Latifi was still around.
We had a bet that if Nicholas Latifi got one single point, Matt would have to get a tattoo.
Yep.
And he did just that. And he never got a tattoo. So you can talk about, oh yeah, if this happens, I'll do this. This happens, you have... No, I'm not doing anything until you get a tattoo of Nicholas Latifi.
I wasn't going to be Nicholas Latifi though, was it?
Was.
Anyway, okay, have a think about it. I will get the tattoo, a decent tattoo. I'll get that, and then we'll make the bet.
Okay, go-karting. But just to confirm, comment down below, who do you think is going to win in the race between Matt and myself when it happens? It's going to happen this month.
Yeah.
We will be doing it. We might even, it will definitely go up on Instagram and TikTok. Depending on how much content we get, it could go up as a little YouTube bit.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Shall we get into some F1 news? So this one may make you laugh a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So Aston Martin.
What have they done now?
Mike Crack has come out and he's defended Lance Stroll. And he has said there is not, his words, there is not much difference between Alonso and Stroll.
Okay, so
I love the pause. I love I can see your eyes going, I don't want to do this. Over to you.
I appreciate the sort of inter-team politics, right? He's got two drivers to please. You know, he's probably trying to keep Lance's motivation high. He's had a tough season, and I think we said at times, does he actually even want to be there?
Yep.
Fernando Alonso, on the other hand, two-time world champion, legend of the sport, been around for absolute donkey's years. I mean, I used to play as Fernando Alonso on my PSP. Now, some of you will be listening to this and you might not have even been born when a PSP was out, right?
That's me.
That is surely the ultimate disrespect. That is... There is a big gap between them. And it's not even like... It's not even like actually that's not been replicated on track. So to be fair, what he's saying could be true.
Mm.
No, it has been pretty fairly like demonstrated over the last few years that Fernando Alonso is very far ahead of Lance Stroll. And I personally, if I was Fernando Alonso, that comment would wind me up.
I would agree with you. So when you're looking obviously at the standings, Fernando Alonso finished P9 with 70 points. Lance Stroll, P13 with 24 points.
Mm.
So there isn't really a comparison between them.
And I mean, also, let's go back to last year when they had a competitive car for, okay, not a lot of the season, but a fair portion of the season. Who was the man getting on the podium? Who was the man that was actually going head-to-head with some of the biggest drivers? Yeah. It was Fernando Alonso. He was the one where you're like, when it got to race day last season, when Aston Martin had that really good car, right? Everyone was so happy for them as well. They come out, they've absolutely blitzed the winter break, and they've got this car that is really quick and it's actually competitive, capable of winning, maybe if that Red Bull wasn't so far ahead, but it was certainly capable of podiums. It was Fernando Alonso that people still feared. It was not Lance Stroll turning up on race day and people were like, you know, double checking their shoulders to make sure he was there. And I don't think that's ever going to change because Lance Stroll has been in the sport for a long time. And I just feel at this point, and we saw this particularly this season, Brazil was, I think, the main one where it really did look like he perhaps purposely drove into the gravel to end his race. It really just looks like he's not mentally there anymore. Now, I don't know what is going on inside his head, but as an outsider, I look at Lance Stroll and I think, you don't want to be here.
No, and I think that's, I think it's fair to say. You see it in his post-race interviews, the way he just drives. I mean, Brazil was a whole new level. I don't think out of all the years I've watched F1, I have ever witnessed something like, you go off, do you know what, lads, I'm just going to go into the gravel, call it a day, that's me out.
That was a calculated move. That wasn't an accident.
No.
And, you know, all these drivers are super intelligent guys. They... Oh, no. I mean, they might not be necessarily book smart. They're certainly gravel smart. Do you know what I mean? They know that if they go into that, I'm not getting out of that. He knew what he was doing. So if I was Fernando Alonso and I heard this comment, I would be straight up to his office, knocking on the door, and be like, just read something that you said about me, actually.
Well, I think...
I want to get your thoughts on it. You know, talk to me man to man.
This Aston Martin car hasn't been good for the whole season. The upgrades that they brought, they've actually gone backwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Fernando Alonso has taken that car... He's probably taken it as far as it can go this year.
Yeah.
I don't think he could have taken it any further.
And you see his frustrations come out over the years. Like, over this year, you've seen his... frustrations about the car come out.
I mean, what race was it that he said he was going to finish the race for the engineers? Because I think it was Brazil, wasn't it? That he literally said he was in so much pain from driving the car that actually he said, I'll finish the race for the engineers because they deserve it. But he suffered badly during that race. And it's such a different... It's compared to 2022 when they were... getting podiums and 23, and Fernando Alonso was saying, you will never see me off the podium. Well, we haven't seen you back on it. So
we've actually not seen him back on the podium since that comment, which is really unfortunate. But genuinely, if it could have happened to anyone on the grid, I'm glad it was him that it happened to.
He cursed himself back big time there. But I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts
are. It is a shame, though, because when Aston Martin came out in 23 and they had that car that was quick, I was happy for them. Yeah. Like, I was, you know, I've always said, the more cars that are capable of winning a race and getting podiums, the better.
Yeah.
That is only going to make the sport more interesting for us.
No,
so, it's a shame that they've messed it up in one way or another. I don't know if that's how you would word it, but no, they have. Something's gone horribly wrong there. Like, whatever they initially understood, they don't at all anymore.
No, 100%. Right, do let us know what your thoughts are on that. If you're a fan, if you're Fernando Alonso, you are probably feeling a bit disrespected right now, hearing those comments.
Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow.
Right, I've got a little bit of a quiz for you here. So,
I'm really bad at these.
No, I know. So, the average position across the last 10 Grand Prix finishes for Red Bull. Okay. So I've got...
Oh, the average. So this is obviously going to be taking Max and Checo. Yeah.
So I've got five Red Bull drivers here, okay, over the years. So their last 10 races. So I've got Verstappen, Danny Ric, Gasly, Albon and Perez. Okay, so an average of their 10 races... Their last 10 races, it gives you a position where they are. So, for example, I tell you Max Verstappen, his average across the last 10 Grand Prix for Red Bull is 3.7. That's his average finish.
Okay? Yeah. I mean, that's... Do you know what? that figure is probably higher as well if you take like the last 40 races.
Yeah.
Which that is crazy.
Yeah. So Daniel Ricciardo.
So in his last 10 races at Red Bull, I have to take the average position that he finished in. Yeah. I'm going to say 6.
4.2.
Wow. Bit better. I was torn between 5 and 6. Yeah.
Pierre Gasly.
8.
7.4.
Okay, that's close.
Yeah.
I'll take that one. No.
Alex
Albon. Do I get a point for that one?
Half point, yeah. Alex Albon.
7.4. That is a tough one. I'm going to say 9.
8.1.
I'll take half a point for that as well.
And our mate, Sergio Perez.
You know, Checo's... Nah, I didn't get... I was going to say he had a stronger finish to the season, but... 12.
10.
Okay, I won't take a point for that one, but... Yeah, look, I said about this in that Instagram reel that I posted. You know, he has got some pretty damning statistics against his name this season. But I tell you what I find most interesting is when we post these TikToks and these reels, there's a lot of Sergio defense out there, right? So a lot of people come out and support him, which is fine. I get that. Like, everyone backs their driver. I really, really do completely get it. But some people abuse us, which that's unacceptable when we're making very fair points. Mm. You know, our biggest question is, okay, is not questioning the ability of Sergio Perez. Sergio Perez has been an unbelievable credit to the sport, right? He's been a very solid F1 driver who's had a very good career in F1. You know, he's got a good few wins under his belt. He's ended his career at a very strong team that he deserved, you know. But the argument now is that does he deserve that seat? Because they got rid of Albon and Gasly for accumulating far more points than he's accumulated in like his last like 10, 12 races. And you look at stuff like this, the average finishing position. You only have to look at his Q1 exits this year. It's all just like, it's more when I come on and do a TikTok on it or something. It's, I just don't understand it. That's it.
No.
I don't understand the Sergio Perez thing.
Especially how ruthless Red Bull have been over the years. And they have been. They don't give anyone time, really. If you're not performing, you're out.
Yeah.
And that's why we find it a bit bizarre that actually Sergio Perez...
Let's look at Daniel Ricciardo this season.
Yeah.
He was thrown out, like, very quickly out of RB.
Mm.
You know, like, not even their main team.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was probably thrown out a little harshly. Look, we both said bringing Danny Ric in the first place wasn't a great idea. We thought it was a bad idea at the time.
Yeah.
I still think it's a bad idea now. The only thing is at this point, Red Bull probably agree with me. But they got rid of him, right? They shipped him out. They ruthlessly shipped out Nyck de Vries from RB. You know, rightly so, again. But yeah, it's like Perez has this get out of jail free card constantly.
I just find it mad.
It is crazy. It's at the point now where I'm like, I'm not even sure I can speak on it anymore because it just doesn't make sense.
Something is happening within that Red Bull team because
you can't say there isn't.
No, and I agree with you. But this, obviously, if you've seen the F1 2025 F1 entry list got announced this week.
Perez is on it.
Perez is on it. However, there is one RB seat remaining. So that, for me, that indicates that actually there is going to be some changes. And whether that Sergio Perez gets taken off that, but something's surely happening here.
The worst part for me also about that is that it's Yuki Tsunoda that's confirmed RB.
Yeah.
Not Liam Lawson. And we've had this debate, but if we're picking on form, Yuki Tsunoda is the better driver.
And Yuki should be in that Red Bull
seat. Yuki should be getting the Red Bull seat. If they are going to turf Perez out and they're going to give it to one of the RB boys, it's got to be Yuki.
And we see on clips people comment, oh, it's because of the Honda link. He's too hot-headed. No, it's Yuki Tsunoda has deserved...
Max Verstappen as their number one driver.
Yuki Tsunoda has deserved his opportunity to go into that Red Bull seat and try and prove himself. And I stand by that. And that's my... And that is ahead of Liam Lawson. That is ahead of Sergio Perez. Yuki Tsunoda deserves that seat. And I stand by it.
Yeah. No, I back that 100%. And I'd be keen to hear what you guys at home think, because there is always a lot of debate over this. And Sergio Perez definitely has more fans than I ever imagined after the amount of like content we've pumped out on him. But if you were Christian Horner, are you number one getting rid of Sergio Perez? And then are you putting him in an RB? Are you saying, look, Checo, your time at Red Bull is up, but we want you to stay part of the family? There's clearly something going on with sponsorship as well. Why don't we put him in an RB, see how he does? And then who are you replacing him with? Are you bringing Liam Lawson in or Yuki Tsunoda?
Yeah, do let us know. Another little quiz. So there is now 6 four-time world champions. I'll give you one of them, Max Verstappen.
Yeah, don't give me the easy one.
Well, okay. Max Verstappen joins the elite of four-time world champions. So there's 6. Who are the 6? Obviously, there's 5 because Max Verstappen, I've told you.
There is Sebastian Vettel.
Yep.
Alan Prost.
Yep.
Fangio.
Did you see this?
No.
Oh. I mean, the other two should be pretty easy.
Hang on. Yeah, but... Like, is it Lewis and Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're 7-time world champions, so you kind of stumped me a little bit there.
Oh, well, okay. They won 4 world champions. More than... Okay. 4-time champions and onwards.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, I got it right anyway.
Well done.
Do you know what? I tell you what, I do have better knowledge sometimes than I earn.
Yeah, when you think about it, you do. Quickly, I finished watching the Senna documentary. Oh, I know, yeah. I touched on this last week, but yeah. I was only a couple of episodes in. And it's incredible that, you know, the career of Senna is epic. Like, I didn't know... I knew quite a lot about him, but I mean, even when you talk about that day when the accident happened, he didn't want to race, you know, but he went out there as one that, you know, his conversations with Alain Prost, or, you know, it's incredible. And if you've watched it at home, do drop a comment and let me know what your thoughts are on it, because, you know, I always thought he was good, but my God, watching this... He wouldn't have just been a 2 or 3-time world champion. He would have gone on and absolutely smashed even further records.
Well, it's strange, isn't it? Because in our sort of, less so yours, but like mine, I was born in 96. Mm. Senna died in 94. So you hear all these things about him. We have never really had the opportunity to watch it. You know, I've seen clips and stuff, and you see YouTube montages. But the way people talk about Senna, even to this day, is like, you know someone's good if people still talk about him. And I know I said this last week about how even the drivers, when they talk about, who's your inspiration? Senna. Yeah. The people of Brazil still love him.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be like that level of iconic and people saying like, oh yeah, he's my hero. And like, what, 30 years on from your death, people still love you like, mad. It goes to show how good he was.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah, it's a phenomenal.
I am going to watch this documentary. Maybe I'll stick it on after.
Yeah, it is brilliant. And you just look at what he, you know, he was at Lotus and McLaren, then he went to Williams, and you know, it's just a brilliant documentary, and it's really well done. I mean, I've tried to make it exactly how it is from his karting days, how he came over. Yeah, it's a brilliant documentary. So if you've watched it, do let me know what your thoughts are on it. But yeah, what a guy. So as you know, season is done. So I thought it'd be quite good to recap the 2024 F1 season.
Which, by the way, it was a good season.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that could have made it better is if we actually had a proper title battle.
Yeah.
And not going to go into the debate of whether Lando should have done better or whether Max was already too far ahead. But ultimately, if we had a closer drivers' championship battle, it would have been a really top tier season.
Yeah. So what I've done is I've gone through every race and kind of just got a bit of description about each race just to recap us, basically.
This is good because I've likely forgotten.
There's a lot of stuff which I also forgot. Obviously, we started off in Bahrain. Max Verstappen dominated that race, won it very comfortably.
I remember distinctly after that race thinking, oh no.
Yeah.
I think you could probably go back and listen to the Bahrain episode that we did, and we're probably just like smacking our heads against the wall.
Yeah, no. And I agree with you. I think when we came in, we're like, this is just going to be another long season.
Yeah, it's just like, we can't do it. I was probably like thinking, I wonder how we can quit doing this podcast.
However, we went to Saudi Arabia, and obviously this is where we got introduced to Ollie Bearman. Carlos Sainz had appendicitis, had surgery. Ollie Bearman came in, and that's the first we really, we knew of him in F2.
But I still stand by the fact that he should have, like, I know this causes controversy every time I say it, but finishing P7 in a Ferrari, which at the time was distinctly the second fastest car, I don't know how much, you know, look, I'm very happy for him and I really hope he does well next year. And he's a fellow Brit, always back them. I just think getting a seat off the back of that drive,
well, I think
I'm not really sure it adds up.
No, but I think for Ollie Bearman, he's had a mad season. You know, he joins F2. He then all of a sudden, race two, gets an opportunity in that Ferrari. He then continues in F2, gets a few little race wins here, And then in Brazil, K-Mag is ill. He gets another opportunity. Yeah. How many times have we seen?
And it wasn't the greatest performance in Brazil.
I mean,
it was a very tricky race, but
let's give a bit of credit. It was a pretty brutal race, and there's a lot of drivers who did not perform in that race.
No, I know, and I'm not going to judge him on anything that I've seen this season. It will be a complete fresh slate next season, but wasn't great in Brazil.
No. And then we went to Australia. Well, Carlos Sainz came back. Max Verstappen retires, engine failure.
Oh my
Lewis
God.
Lewis Hamilton.
Wasn't the Max retiring? That was like, I remember thinking, I've not felt a high like this for a long time in the sport.
Down the back straight, and all of a sudden you just saw engine gone, and you're like, whoa.
Was it something to do with his brakes, was it not? Didn't he get something caught in there or something?
That's right, yeah.
No, it was bad, but it was great. And I think this is one of the rare occasions where I speak on behalf of the majority of F1 fans that we needed that. My God, we needed it.
But then obviously Carlos Sainz win, Charles Leclerc second, Ferrari 1-2.
Yeah, well, the irony of all that happiness is that it was actually not a very good race.
No, it was a very, very, it was a very controlled race from Carlos Sainz, which I was delighted for him. You know, to come back from having surgery, 10 days later.
Well, he was literally hobbling around the paddock. It was insane.
Because I watched a clip of it when they said to him, obviously, you know, it's good for you to be mobile. So he was like, and this was at Saudi Arabia. He was like, all right, well, I'll go mobile. I'll just go down. I didn't want to be stuck in a room, so I'll just start walking around. And there he is just walking around the paddock. And I'm like, that's mental. But yeah. What's interesting, which I did forget, George Russell crash on the last lap.
Was it last lap?
Last lap.
I mean, obviously, I remember the crash because it was a pretty nasty crash. Yeah. And there was obviously speculation. Did Alonso
move.
You know, did he sort of brake check him a little bit? Was it, look, it's all in the past now. But there was a very scary crash, and obviously George being sort of sideways in the road, he was terrified. Obviously, yeah. That radio message where he's like pleading them to red flag it, yeah, I'm sure, probably still haunts him. That is something that would terrify you. Like, I don't care, like, if you race in that sport, like, every single day. It's something like that happens, because all you're thinking, right, he's there, suspended, midair, on the side, in the road. He can't see anything. Mm. The cars are coming from, like, that way of him. All he's going to be thinking is, like, I could literally be smashed in half any second now.
Yeah, it's horrible. It was horrible. Japan, Max back to winning ways. For the first three races out of four, it was a Red Bull 1-2. Max winning, Perez second. So beginning of the season, Perez looked actually relatively strong. Went to China. Again, Max wins his first Chinese Grand Prix. And at this point, Max is just picking up these wins. And I think we were a bit like, wow, this is going to be another long season. However,
we go again.
We went to Miami and Lando Norris got his first ever race win. Bit of help from the safety car, but if, you know, to get the wins, you need a bit of luck.
And it's safe to say that Lando was the quickest man on the day anyway. He was, like, as he was coming through the pack. And sometimes you need a little bit of luck.
I think, you know, Miami was the start of Kevin Magnussen's downfall as well. I mean, he was just bouncing off people for fun, took out Logan Sargeant. He was just
K-Mac had a funny old season.
Yeah, he did.
But again, he's one of those personalities I miss him.
Yeah, no, I will. Then we went to Imola. Max wins, but it was a good battle. Lando was chasing, and we started to really see the McLarens come into play. And I think from Miami, and then heading on into Imola, and, you know, that sort of,
I think that's when we knew we had a season on our hands.
Yes, I agree. Because then we went to Monaco. Charles Leclerc, first ever home race win. And I have to say, we have had some very, very good commentary over the years. Mm-hmm. But for me, the commentary from Crofty for this was one of the best.
Do you think?
Mm. I listened to it again yesterday. I think it was Crofty.
It was nice. I mean, it made it obviously even better, the fact that Charles Leclerc had been somewhat cursed by whoever, meaning that he just physically could not win at Monaco. It doesn't matter what happened. You know, he'd had pole position there. Mm. They weren't converting to wins. Something would happen. It would be some bullshit as well. Like, it's just like, why would this happen to this person on this day at this time? And then finally it happened and you saw what it meant to him, and it was great. But it wasn't the only news of the day. No. This was also the downfall of Esteban Ocon.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously.
I remember we did a podcast after that going, he could potentially just lose. They could potentially just get rid of him now.
Yeah. I mean, they were not clearly very happy with him at the time. And I think ultimately it is what led to him losing his seat. And it was a silly thing to do. If you don't know what we're talking about, it's obviously the lap one move that he made on his teammate. Look, whether you think the overtake was on or not, it may well have been. But to your teammate, probably not. Alpine were having a very difficult season at the time. The last thing they need is two cars out of the race. It was a crazy thing to do. And I think that was probably the reason it led to him losing his seat. Was because they saw that as, you're driving for yourself, not the team. We don't need that.
I agree. Also, we had that first lap incident, Hülkenberg taking out K-Mag, Sergio Perez.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, awful. But then we went to Canada. Nice little wet race. Max wins again.
And this, you know, this is what I want to say. People talk about, Max Verstappen won like 7 out of the first whatever races. But everyone openly acknowledges the fact that the McLaren was a very competitive car from Miami.
Yeah.
Well, that was earlier on. You know.
Well, Miami was race 6. So What? So Max 18 won. Races left still yeah. to be dominant.
There's yeah. there's a huge opportunity
yeah.
there. And I don't care if it winds people up. I think Lando could have won the championship this season. I don't think 100%. It has anything to do with Max Verstappen picking up those early wins. I think it could have been done. I think it should have been done. But that's all I'm going to say. I think next year he's going to be much better placed.
Then we went to Spain. First time for the season, we saw Lewis Hamilton get on the podium. It yep. took him to race 10. But again, another Max Verstappen race win. Lando Norris P2. This is when we start to see this battle between them. It's getting closer. Lando's picking up those P2s. And then we start to see. Then we went to Austria. Well, what can we say about that? What a battle between Max and Lando. And, you know,
it's what we were waiting for.
It was coming.
Finally, they stopped kissing and cuddling each other. They got down to the nitty gritty. And finally, they crashed into each other. And it got a little bit feisty.
It did. It did. George Russell, and we said, I remember saying this on the podcast, George Russell seems to be in the right place at the right time. And he was, because he went on to get his first race win of the season. And
yeah, that was kind of crazy. It always happens to him.
Oh, he's in the right places. The mad thing about this, by race 11, we had already had 5 different race winners.
It's
considering crazy. 2023, we had 2.
Yeah.
Actually, sorry, 3.
We had
Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz. Already by race 11 in this season, we had 5 different race winners.
And you talk about having 3 race winners. Max won 20 of them or 19 or whatever. Like, you had Carlos Sainz win 1 race and Perez win 2.
Yeah.
It's pretty unspectacular. Unless you're Max Verstappen, then it's incredible.
Yeah. Then we went to Silverstone. Well,
best race of the season by a long margin.
Lewis Hamilton, after 1,000 and something days, gets his first race win.
And it couldn't have come anywhere better than his home Grand Prix.
So yesterday I watched the highlights of it again. Mm. And I forget what a mad race that was.
Well, because you cried, didn't you, at the end?
I didn't cry. I was emotional. I was joyous. But I was delighted that, you know, to see Lewis win again. It was great. But it was,
I'm sure, a lot of people did cry, by the way.
But it was such a mad race. You know, the Mercedes, George Russell starting on pole, you know, then they get overtaken because they're struggling with their tyres by the McLarens. The McLarens then look strong. Max Verstappen is overtaking McLarens. Then they're overtaking Max.
And then obviously when the rain hits and then the Mercedes both come through the McLarens, and then it's all kind of, it all got so
both
messy.
McLarens went off. Yeah. Both Mercedes, sorry, went off. Do you remember that?
Yeah, because they started racing. It all got so messy because it was kind of like the first initial thing when it started raining, it was like, oh shit, Lewis looks quick. Yeah. Like, wow, you know, this is cream always rises to the top. And then actually, no, then the Mercedes randomly started struggling. Then the
Piastri looked good. But then this, for me, was a really key part of the season, because we saw how unprepared McLaren were with their strategies.
Yeah.
They left Piastri out way too long.
Yeah.
He came in, he dropped down to like P7.
Oh, they ruined his race, yeah.
They brought Lando in. They gave Lando too much choice. Lando, what do you want to do? Softs, mediums? You've got a fresh pair of mediums. Actually, you're the only one on the grid with a fresh pair of mediums. Oh, whatever Lewis is doing, I'll do it. He went on to soft. He ruined his tyres too early. Lewis managed his tyres well. Max Verstappen went on to hards, managed that really well, came into P2. There is nothing, and I've said this on the podcast before, Max Verstappen should never have finished P2 in that race.
Max shouldn't have even been on the podium that race. No, it was an incredible, firstly, right, we've always given credit to strategy.
Yeah.
It was an incredible strategy, but it was an incredibly consistent and clean drive by Max.
It was.
He got to reap the rewards from it. And that, like you say, it was a critical point in the season, because that was an opportunity for Lando to put some points between himself and Max.
Yeah.
And it was another time they failed to do so.
No, I agree. And it was mad. It really was. Then we went to Hungary. Piastri, first race win. Which
controversially.
But for me, it was great for him to get his win. Max loses. Let's just say Max loses his shit at the team. I still think that's one of the funniest radio. Max, if you could, no, don't tell me that. This is what you're going to
do.
Do
you know what? This race was the first time I think we had seen in a long time the Max Verstappen that comes out under pressure.
Yeah.
Now, this is still something that Max hasn't quite conquered. When he does come under pressure, he does lower his driving standards.
Well, he hit Lewis.
Yeah, and that would have never happened to another driver. He would have never crashed into another driver. It's always Lewis. And then he really vents his frustrations over the radio. And I felt like, yeah, that was... do you know what? That's when I knew, actually, Red Bull haven't got it all cracked. Because we still weren't entirely convinced. But it was seeing that, I was like, actually, they could be in trouble.
Yeah, no. And then we went to Belgium. George Russell, race winner, but was taken away because he did not have enough fuel in his car, which meant Lewis Hamilton got his second race win of the season. And I was there. It was great to see. It really was great to see. After the international break, we went back.
The international break.
After the summer break. After the summer break, we went to the Netherlands, where Lando dominated that. To pick up his second race win.
And what a great race.
He did it very well. He did it really well.
And I think it was at that point, actually, that I started to change my tune on the podcast, where I was kind of like, actually,
he could do it.
Lando does have it in him. It's like, if we saw that Lando every week, where he was cool, composed, clinical, he did everything. That he needed to, and he just got his head down and he was so fast. And I know what you're going to say. Oh, well, like, you can't be like that every track because the car performance changes. Like, I know, but I believe the McLaren was capable of that at more tracks than we saw this season.
I agree. We then went to Monza. What a race by Charles Leclerc. Picks up his second race win of the season. Piastri gets second, which... still, again, is a bit questionable by McLaren with their decision-making. You know, Lando Norris, theoretically, is in the title challenge. Lando finished third. They could have swapped him, but they didn't. Then we went to Baku. And for me, I've said this before, I was so impressed with Oscar Piastri on that day. Such a great defence from Charles Leclerc, Sergio Perez. He held it well. It was brilliant. And that was, for him, his first proper win without it being... questionable, like,
yeah. Well,
the one in Hungary.
The Hungary one was that was a little bit of bullshit from the team. They caused that scenario,
yeah.
And it's a shame that they kind of took that moment away from him because he was a deserving race winner at Hungary,
yeah.
And if they hadn't have done that strange strategy call where they pulled in Lando first, it would have. Just he could have just enjoyed that moment naturally as he should have been able to, but yeah, obviously it came at Baku, which was technically his second race win, but like you say, that was the first really organic one where it's like, right, I've had nothing go on here that like people say, oh, you don't deserve that, so you fully earned it.
And then we went to Singapore, and a very, very dominant win again from Lando Norris. Verstappen picked up exactly what he needs to do, picked up a P2, damage limitations. And Max Verstappen was so good at that. You know, when he wasn't winning, he was very good at picking up what he needed to pick up.
Yeah, and that really was the difference. I mean, that's kind of the difference between a really good driver and a world champion. Max Verstappen knew at a certain point that he didn't have to win every single race in order to win. There are two reasons for that. Fundamentally, he just had a big enough points gap that if he was picking up like P2s, P3s, he'll be fine. Also, you know that that's going to happen because Lando is not going to constantly get P1.
No.
So he kind of had that little bit of freedom. You know, he definitely had more pressure on him this year. In a title challenge, and it was certainly not an easy title for Max to win this year. But he was always in control.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier.
Very much. So then we went to Austin. Ferrari 1-2. Leclerc wins. Another poor start from Lando Norris. And obviously, the controversy with Max Verstappen pushing Lando off. Lando gets a penalty, drops back.
I mean, and obviously this kickstarted a lot of... This started some dissatisfaction amongst the drivers about a certain somebody's driving standards. I mean, I don't think everyone necessarily came out and said, yeah, the way Max drives sometimes is rubbing us up the wrong way. But they all came out and essentially said, something needs to change here because this rule does not make sense. You shouldn't just be allowed to not hit your brakes when you're supposed to and run your rival off wide while you're going wide, also missing the corner and then being able to keep the position because you're ahead at the apex. Terrible rule. Glad it's been rectified. And I think we didn't really see Max get pushed, not to my memory, properly where he needed to execute a move like that.
No.
From that point onwards. Next season, if it's very competitive, it'll be interesting to see how he races wheel to wheel.
But then it got better and better because we went to Mexico.
Yeah.
And Max Verstappen was on a mission to kill anyone in front of him.
To be fair, I say from that point onwards, obviously Mexico, I think he might have tried to murder Lando Norris.
Carlos Sainz, another race win. 22nd penalty for Max Verstappen. It was a pretty brutal day for him. But again, damage limitations. He still came back and I think he finished, what, P5? Something like that?
Yeah.
The rivalry between Lando and Max was really
because the thing is that at this point it was actually pretty close. It was getting hairy for Max.
100%.
But the attempted murder wasn't necessary.
No. And then we went to Brazil. And this is where kind of the whole pendulum swung in favour of Max Verstappen.
Completely.
So what did we have? Alpine, double podium.
Crazy.
Mental.
Absolutely crazy, by the way. Like, think how their season started.
Yeah.
Think of that race in Bahrain.
Think Monaco. Think about all of these types of things.
They had a horrible season that was turned around incredibly towards the end.
We had Max Verstappen win for the first time in 10 races. He came from P17 to win that race.
That's genuinely one of the best drives,
yeah,
I think, in the history of F1.
We had red flags galore. We had a whole day of F1, being F1 fans of qualifying.
Yeah.
Race.
We liked that setup.
It was beautiful. I loved it. But Brazil was a real turning point in the season for Max Verstappen and actually for Lando Norris. He did crumble. But again, I think he will learn a lot from this and he will hopefully, you know, take that into next season and get better. We went to Las Vegas. Max Verstappen came a four-time world champion. Mercedes double podium. Lewis Hamilton came from, what was it, P10 all the way down to P2.
That was an incredible drive. And I think it was kind of like poetic how we got to see the two best drivers on the grid, in my opinion, Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, week after week, show two unbelievable drives that I think only world champions could pull off.
Yeah, agree. Then we went to Qatar. Max Verstappen wins, a very dominant display from him. And then Abu Dhabi. As we know, we won't have to delve too much into that because that was only last week. Lando wins, McLaren win the Constructors, Ferrari finished P2. And at that point, I think, although we're, as F1 fans and Lewis fans, excited that the season's done and Lewis will be going to Ferrari next year, it was a very, very good season. And actually, I think for us, it's kind of brought our love back for the sport. Not that, for me, it had never gone, but when you're seeing a Red Bull dominate week in, week out, it gets a bit
2023 dampened it, definitely, for everyone. Maybe not if you were a Max Verstappen fan, and I completely get that. But even so, right, as a Max Verstappen fan, would you rather another 2023 season, or would you rather another 2021 season?
21 season.
I take 21 all day long. You know, you say, oh, would you rather, like, if Lewis was winning in 23, I'd still take that 21 season. Assuming that you don't know who's going to win, let's just say it's your driver, Max Verstappen, going head-to-head with Fernando Alonso. You don't know who's going to win, but it comes down to the final race of the season. You'd take that all day long over just absolutely dominating a season. I can't see anyone taking that 2023 season over 21.
That 21 season was mental.
Yeah.
I've said this on the podcast before. I don't think I've ever been so involved and so engrossed in a sporting event in my life. I couldn't wait for the weekends. I couldn't wait for Thursday to hear the driver's interview. You know, I couldn't wait for practice. I couldn't wait for qualifying. What's Mercedes looking like in practice? Okay, they're a bit off here. How's that going to transpire for qualifying? I couldn't wait for every session. I was that involved in it.
And that's what I mean. It's also good for the sport because it gets fans invested in every single inch. Like, you had to watch everything. You had to know exactly what was going on. And I think, you know, there might be fans of Ferrari or McLaren or Haas right now watching this saying, well, not if you're us, but I think, nah, actually, like, all of us are fans of the sport. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe it was that little bit more special because it was clash of, like, the Titans. Mm. It was Lewis Hamilton, 7-time world champion against Max Verstappen. You know, everyone knew Max was special and he was destined to be the next big thing. But I think that could have genuinely been between anyone and I would have been invested. You know, that could have been a Lando Norris versus Sebastian Vettel battle. And I would have been there. It could have been anyone.
Would you have been as invested if it was Nicholas Latifi and Kevin Magnussen?
Yeah, I'm sure I would have. I'll say this. Naturally, and this happens everywhere, people that are better, you know, it's okay to say that drivers are better than other drivers, right? There's a reason people like Max Verstappen end up driving for teams like Red Bull.
Yeah.
These are all unbelievable drivers, but in history, you can look back and be like, well, he was better than him and he was better than him. When drivers are better, you prefer watching them, right? And I'll use one of my famous football analogies. It's the same reason you support Brighton and Hove Albion, right? Premier League Football Club.
Yeah.
Instead of Seaford Town Football Club, our local town in England. They play like Step 3 or something, which is like three steps down from like the National League. So it's like it's a very good standard of football, but compared to Premier League, it's light years apart.
Mm.
And that's why when you say, well, would you watch it if it was Nicholas Latifi and K-Mac? Obviously, I'd watch it, but would I be as invested? The genuine answer is probably no. But I would still watch it.
Yeah.
But I just, come on, watching Lewis Hamilton versus Max Verstappen. And even, look, I was really excited for Lando versus Max this season. That's great.
Mm. Right. I want to... John, check the camera.
Why do you always get me to check the camera?
Because you know, I got three questions for you, okay, to finish off this end of season review.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is your best moment of the year?
Lewis winning Silverstone. There's actually been a lot of good moments, like, and I had to actually think then. But I think for a lot of people, that was a great moment because kind of like the fairy tale behind it. And, you know, I think it would have been, I know he obviously went on to win Spa, not maybe as emphatically as that.
Yeah.
But for him to win a race with Mercedes after all that, you know, the last time he won was Saudi Arabia 2021. Had to go through the Abu Dhabi controversy. Doesn't matter what side of the fence you sit, it was controversial. definitely very hard to take if you're Lewis Hamilton. If the shoe was on the other foot and you're a Max fan, you would feel sort of like bereft by it. So that, like, that's fine. But it was that kind of moment of like, he deserves that win. He got it. And that must be such a relief for him, and to do it in front of the home crowd. He's now won at Silverstone 8 times. But there are some definite honorary mentions that you can pass out. I mean, Lando getting his first win was cool. Genuinely, Max's Brazil drive, if I can consider that a moment, I thought it was just so good. It was so like impressive that like the whole thing just became exciting, because it was like, that is just so good. Leclerc's Monaco win, you could even throw the Monza win in there, to be fair. I think the fact that he won 2 races this season, and it was Monaco and Monza.
Yeah.
It's like you couldn't script that.
No.
You couldn't write it. And it's just like, yeah. So there's been plenty of moments this season that I've really enjoyed. But Lewis winning Silverstone, number one.
Do let us know at home, what was your best moment of the year?
What was yours?
So I would have normally said Lewis winning Silverstone.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, after all those years since his last win and all of that struggle he's gone through. But mine is Charles Leclerc at Monaco. It's something about that race where, you know, okay, it's not my favourite race. I don't enjoy necessarily the race itself.
Yep.
But, you know, over the years, you've seen Charles Leclerc get so close. He gets those pole positions. I mean, what was it, 2023, where he got pole position? And then all of a sudden he couldn't start the race because... Yep. And then to actually...
22 when they pissed up his strategy. Yeah. Wasn't it? Yeah.
And then you know, as fans, you think to yourself, that is just never going to happen for him. He's jinxed. He's never going to win it. But to see him actually win his home Grand Prix, it was something special, and it was really great to watch. And I think when you look at his history of, you know, losing his dad and how he lied about getting his seat in F1 and all of that stuff, or seat in Ferrari, I think it was, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden it happened, and to then go on and win, it was great. And I really enjoyed that, and I really liked that. So from an F1 fan point of view, I would actually say that was probably one of my best moments of the year.
Yeah, that is a very valid contender.
Mm. One question though, what is your favourite race of the year? And obviously you can say the same, you can say Silverstone again.
Yeah, I mean, I think even take the Lewis win out of Silverstone, it was a really good race. You know, if Lando, Max, Oscar, George won. Yeah, that's a tough one.
I have two.
I feel like you're going to say Silverstone or Brazil.
So
Brazil was also a great race.
Brazil was, because I just loved the whole weekend because it was just chaos and it was just brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you're going to say about this, and we've discussed this on the podcast before, but I really enjoyed Baku. And I don't know, I'm not saying this, I just really enjoyed the battle.
I would disagree with this one.
That's fine. I just really enjoyed the battle of Piastri, Leclerc, Perez. Obviously, then the crash at the end, Sainz and Perez. Baku's not my favourite track. I'm not by any stretch of imagination, but I just really enjoyed the race, the defence, the attacks. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, well, you know, look, this is the beauty of the sport, right? Everyone's got opinions.
But you disagree with mine.
I disagree with it. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'm allowed to. I thought it was a decent race. Baku was a decent race. It didn't really do much for me. I know we've had the argument about whether it was Piastri's best race of the season. I still don't think it was. But I
did also enjoy Silverstone. I'm just saying, I love Silverstone.
But do you know what? That's the you couldn't have sat here last season and asked these questions.
No.
Because there was no greatest moment last season. Like I say, unless you're a Max fan, it was
Mine was Singapore.
Yeah, well, when Sainz won. Yeah, so... Yeah, I think We've been pretty blessed this season.
Final question.
Yeah.
Who is your 2024 driver of the year?
I mean, this is going to sound like an easy one, but it's Max. Because I stand by the fact that I don't believe he was best positioned to win a world championship this year. And he did absolutely everything that he needed to in order to win it. And it was a very impressive world championship.
No, I would probably agree with you on that, because I think it takes a lot, and which is this is mad. And the fact that we're here, we always respect and, you know, good drivers and elite drivers and what they do and stuff. But I think Max Verstappen this year has shown that actually winning the championship isn't all about just winning races all the time. It is about the consistency of picking up the right points and being in the right position at the right time, getting your strategy right, which is exactly what he has done this year.
You have to maximize everything from every race.
I like what you did there.
Max in eyes. Yeah. Right, yeah. The pun was not intended, but it was pretty cool. I think it's not really something it's not something I remember seeing from Max. Where he's not always like pushing to like, I've got to be first, I've got to be first. I feel like you saw this season where he was like, actually, like, I just need to bring the car home. I need to, you know, what's the best I can do? And then I can just cruise home. And we saw that from him. And like, that takes a very mature driver. It takes experience. And it's the exact reason he's ended up world champion.
No, I'd agree.
I have a little quiz for you.
Okay. Do also let us know, who is your driver of the year?
So I thought this would be a good one, right? Normally when I do something like this, it's a little bit more difficult and it's to try and catch Matt out. But I want you guys at home to play along, okay? There are four works teams in Formula One, right? This means they all have different engines. They all sound slightly different.
Oh, this... Okay.
I want you to blind guess who the works team is of these cars. So there's only four, obviously, four engine noises. It doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to say, like, if it's Mercedes, you don't have to say McLaren. Like, just say Mercedes, the works team.
So we're saying Mercedes...
Mercedes, Ferrari, Alpine, Red Bull Powertrain.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
I'll obviously play them out loud. But I do want you to play at home, okay?
Okay.
And I will reveal the answer.
Okay. I'm going to close my eyes and try and envisage.
I'm going to start with this one.
Is that...
Do you want me to go through more?
Is that Mercedes?
Well, you're going to have to give me all of them before I give you the answers.
Okay.
So you think number one, Mercedes?
Yes. Red Bull.
So you think number two, Red Bull?
Yeah.
I'm curious, comment down below what you thought number
one
was.
Who else have I got left? Ferrari and... Who am I missing?
Well, in theory, Ferrari and Alpine.
Alpine. Ferrari.
So you think number three, Ferrari.
Yeah.
So we've got one Mercedes, two Red Bull.
Yeah.
Three Ferrari.
Yeah.
And number four.
It's going to have to be Alpine, I've already said.
Wait, you can change. I'll allow you to freely change. I know
that
this
one
difficult.
Sounds like a Red Bull.
Would you like to change?
Yes.
Okay.
Two Alpine, four Red Bull.
So you think this one is Alpine?
Yes.
I can confirm.
What I bet they're all the same.
Could you imagine? They're all just the same car. Number one was Alpine. That is this car. I don't really know how you would have been able to tell that one. It is like, I feel like, and this is so easy because I can see them.
Yeah.
I feel like the only way I would have guessed Alpine is if it was the one that I didn't recognize as much. Number two was Mercedes.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's all right though, because they were my one and two, so they're wrong. So potentially I might get the three Ferrari and four Red Bull. That's what I said.
Number three. Ferrari.
Yes!
I feel like I would have got that one.
Yeah.
And I would have got... Red Bull is the easiest one.
Yeah, as soon as I heard the fourth... Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. But that's why I changed, because as soon as I heard it, I was like, that sounds like a Red Bull.
I like that. That was my little game. I don't know if you guys at home scored 4 out of 4. Go outside, touch some grass.
Let us know. Let us know how many you got. But that is the end of the podcast. Is there anything I've missed?
No. I mean, I'm guessing we won't actually be here next week. That is probably the one week we will miss.
I don't know. We're here all throughout.
Because
Christmas is next Wednesday. So yeah, in theory, we are going to be back next week.
What? So we're going to release an episode on Christmas Eve?
That's what they want.
When are you around to film?
Sunday.
I'm not.
Saturday.
I'm not.
Friday.
I'm not.
Monday.
Monday is the only day I'm possibly
around. There we go. We found a day.
So are you around Monday?
I'm around Monday.
Why have you got nothing on?
Well, technically I'm working Monday, but we can film Monday at some point.
I can't do evening.
Okay. This is not your issue, guys, and we will discuss. I will discuss off the podcast.
I just assumed that we weren't filming next week because it was Christmas.
Okay, I mean, we can have a week off if you like. We'll have a discussion. We'll let you know.
We are here all winter, though. Like all
winter, except
apart
next week.
From maybe next week. But other than that, we are definitely here. We are not going anywhere. The episodes are going to be short. This one was abnormally long, considering we had nothing to talk about.
But this is the issue. We always say we have nothing to talk about, and then we just have loads to talk about.
Yeah, it's strange how it works. I can't wait to edit this 1 hour and 10 minute episode.
Yeah, and he's going to be doing it. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We're back on YouTube. If you are, leave us a like.
If you are what?
I don't know.
We haven't done this for a long time.
Yeah, no. Let's redo this. Right. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit a like, subscribe if you are new. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platform, do leave us a rating. We do really appreciate it. Leave us a 5-star rating. It's really nice. We'll be back potentially next week. If not, we'll be back the week after. But all I want to say is if we're not back next week, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great one.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for all your support so far this year. It honestly has been a bit mind-blowing because it's grown a lot bigger than I expected.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we have millions of people, but the actual comments we're getting, the views and all of this stuff, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we have we do really appreciate the support. It's been cool over the last like few months.
And I feel like we're getting this community now where actually we're getting that engagement. You guys are actually getting to know us a bit better than maybe you're just hearing us on the podcast. You've seen our clips and you're getting involved. So yeah, I really do appreciate it. And 2025, we do have a lot coming. So stay tuned for that. Have a good week. And we shall see you soon for a brand new podcast. Bye-bye.